Okay, so get ready for this one because you guys sent in some seriously cool research for this deep dive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all about like how much we actually read,
Okay.
but like scientifically, not just that, you know,
Yeah.
vague feeling of, I think I read a lot,
Yeah.
you
Like,
know?
I tell myself that, but like,
Exactly.
how do I know?
Yeah. Is there any proof?
Right.
So this is from Osaka Prefecture University and Keio University
Wow.
in Japan.
Okay.
And they're diving into how we might actually measure that.
Interesting. So, like, we have step trackers for our,
Yes.
physical activity, but what about for our minds?
It's like finally getting a fitness tracker
Right.
for your brain. But before we even get into the how, I kind of want to talk about why this even matters.
Well, and the study emphasizes this. Reading isn't just enjoyable, it's like fundamentally linked
Okay.
to critical thinking and knowledge.
Yeah.
And they even introduced this idea of a reading life log. Imagine tracking not just what you read, but how much over your lifetime.
Oh,
You could
wild.
discover, like, oh, I retain information better from physical books than e-readers, or
Yeah.
my vocabulary spikes after I read, like, historical fiction.
Huh.
It's like a personalized roadmap to how your mind learns.
Okay, now that is seriously cool.
Right.
A reading life log would be like having a superpower. But how do they even measure something like that? Is it all like, you know, those brain scanning helmets you see in sci-fi movies?
Not quite. They focus on something a little less invasive, which is eye tracking technology.
Okay.
But they didn't just use one type. They tested out three different methods to see what worked best for measuring reading.
Okay, so break down those methods so we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
We've got stationary, mobile, and something called electrochelography.
Yeah, electro what now?
All right.
That one sounds pretty
That
intense.
last one sounds pretty
It
intense.
does sound futuristic.
Yeah.
But it's actually just about using electrodes that are embedded in glasses
Oh.
to track your eye movements.
Okay.
So, they found that while each method had its pros and
Good
cons,
for her.
surprisingly, the like fancier pro level gear
Yeah.
wasn't always better for this. Comfort
Interesting.
and practicality mattered just as much as accuracy, so
Yeah.
no need to strap on like a mind reading helmet just yet.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I'd much rather curl up with a good book than a bunch of wires.
Right, exactly.
But no matter the method, the ultimate goal here is to create what the researchers call a wordometer. Basically, it's like a step counter, but for your eyes as they scan a page.
Exactly. It's about reverse engineering the act of reading,
Okay.
breaking down this incredibly complex process into like measurable data points.
Right.
And it's all thanks to how our eyes move.
So how does this wordometer actually work? Do they attach like tiny cameras to our eyeballs?
Not quite. It all starts with recording those tiny movements that our eyes make as we read.
Okay.
So imagine your eyes are like butterflies, kind of like landing on words. We call those fixations.
Got it.
And then flitting to the next, and those are called saccades.
Okay.
So the wordometer tracks these movements to
Yeah.
figure out how many words we're actually taking in.
It's like they're mapping out the flight path
Yeah.
of our eyeballs. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But there's going to be more to it than just tracking those butterfly-like movements, right?
Right. It gets even more intricate.
Okay.
The wordometer also has to recognize when our eyes make those big sweeps
Yeah.
back to the beginning of the next line.
Right.
Those are crucial for like accurately counting the words.
So it's not just about tracking where our eyes land, but also how they move between those points.
Exactly.
This wordometer is sounding smarter by the minute.
It really is. And it gets even more impressive when you consider the next step, which is analyzing all that data.
Okay.
They use machine learning algorithms
What?
that essentially learn to recognize patterns in our eye movements and
Oh.
correlate them with how many words we're reading.
Wait, so it's like teaching a computer to understand what our eyes are saying?
Yes.
That's wild. Tell me more about these algorithms and how they actually learn to read our minds, or at least our eyes.
Yeah. It's true. These algorithms are learning to decode the language of our eyeballs.
Okay.
They're fed like a massive amount of data.
Okay.
Thousands of eye tracking recordings
Right.
paired with like the actual text people were reading.
So it's like showing the algorithm a million different butterfly flight patterns.
Exactly.
And saying, like, see, when the butterfly does this, it means it visited this many words.
Exactly. And over time, the algorithm starts to pick up on those patterns. Like it's
Wow.
learning to speak butterfly,
Yeah.
yeah. able to predict how many words someone is reading just by watching their eyes move.
Okay, that's officially blown my mind, but how do we know how accurate this butterfly whisperer really is? Did they actually test it out on real people?
Of course, yeah. They had 14 participants with diverse reading backgrounds. And get this, they had them read over 109,000 words.
What?
That's like a whole novella just for science.
Wow, they really put this wordometer through its paces.
Yeah.
And did they just use like one super algorithm or were there different versions they tested out?
They actually trained three different versions.
Yeah.
Each with a slightly different approach.
Okay, so what were these different like schools of word counting algorithms?
So the first one was like the cold start model.
Okay.
Imagine meeting a butterfly for the first time and trying to guess its whole life story.
Right.
That's essentially what this algorithm has to do.
Wow.
It has zero prior knowledge of the user.
Okay.
Or the document. So it's starting from scratch.
That sounds incredibly tough. How did it do?
You'd be surprised. Even with no head start.
Yeah.
It managed an average error rate of just 11.5%.
Really?
Pretty impressive for a cold start.
11.5% error. That's like almost nailing it.
I know, right?
But I bet the other models were even better, right?
Yes. They also tested a personalized model.
Oh.
Think of it this way. The more familiar you are with your butterfly's quirks, like how it flits, where it likes to land, the better you become at understanding its movements.
Sure.
This personalized model was trained on a specific user's reading style. So it had a head start.
Oh, yeah.
As you might expect, it performed even better than the cold start model.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So what about the third school? What was its specialty?
The third one focused on how people read the same document.
Okay.
This is like observing multiple butterflies in the same garden.
Right.
You're more likely to spot patterns if you see them behaving similarly in like a familiar environment.
Right.
And just like we thought, this model performed really well too.
Okay.
Although not quite as well as the personalized one.
Okay. That makes sense. The more information the algorithm has,
right,
the better it gets at its job.
Exactly.
But this is all getting a bit technical. What I really want to know is, did they discover anything surprising about how we read?
Oh, absolutely.
Like any aha moments they weren't expecting?
Yeah. Remember how we talked about those reading life logs?
Right.
And the potential insights they could unlock?
Right.
Well, this research already starts to give us a glimpse into those hidden patterns.
Okay, now this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Hit me with those fascinating findings.
Okay.
What did they learn? Okay, spill the tea. What kind of aha moments are we talking about here?
Well, one of the most fascinating findings was that the wordometer's accuracy actually changed depending on what people were reading.
Wait, really? So it's not just about how we read, but also what we're reading?
Exactly. For example, they found that shorter texts were harder for the algorithm to get right.
Oh, interesting.
It's like trying to understand butterfly's whole journey from like just a few seconds of its flight.
Right. It needs a good long runway to really get a sense of your reading style.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
And here's the kicker. They also found that difficult texts, those with more complex language, also threw off the accuracy.
Whoa. So the wordometer was picking up on our reading struggles. Like, it knew when we were sweating over a tough sentence.
In a way, yeah. It suggests that our reading style itself changes when we encounter challenging material.
Yeah.
We might pause more, backtrack, maybe even subconsciously skip over words.
Right.
Those subtle shifts can kind of throw off the algorithm's predictions.
That's so cool. It's like this technology could actually reveal those hidden moments when our brains are really working hard.
Yeah.
But before we get like too carried away with decoding our cognitive struggles.
Right.
The paper also highlighted how important, like, the tech itself is
right.
to the wordometer's accuracy.
Of course, yeah. Even with these amazing algorithms, the quality of the data matters.
Right.
Calibration is crucial, for example.
Right.
If the eye tracker isn't properly set up for each user, the data will be totally off.
Garbage in, garbage out. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And they found that even small things made a difference.
Okay.
Like how well the system could track the pupil.
Really?
Hmm.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. And this is where those different eye tracking methods we talked about come back into play.
Right.
For example, you know, those mobile systems, they give you more freedom.
Right.
But they can struggle to keep up with the pupil if you move around a lot or if the lighting changes.
It's like trying to track a butterfly on a roller coaster. Good luck with that.
Exactly.
It seems like there are still some kinks to work out, like with the tech side of things.
There are. But that's to be expected with any new technology, right? I mean, this research is still just scratching the surface.
Sure.
Think about it. Right now, the focus is on like counting words.
Right.
But what if we could combine this tech with content analysis?
Right.
We could start to understand not just how much people read, but also how well they understand what they're reading.
Now that would be a game changer. Imagine like getting personalized feedback on your reading comprehension.
Right.
Like a fitness tracker, but for your understanding.
Exactly.
This research has definitely given us a lot to think about.
It really has, and it all circles back to that like incredible potential of this reading life log concept.
Yeah.
Imagine tracking your reading habits, your comprehension, your vocabulary growth over time. Like, the insights would be invaluable.
It'd be like having a window into the evolution of your own mind.
Right.
It really makes you wonder, like, what will we discover about ourselves and how we learn as this technology continues to evolve?
That's the exciting part, isn't it? The possibilities are endless.
Absolutely. And on that note, a huge thank you to you, our intrepid listener, for sharing this fascinating research with us.
Yeah.
You've definitely given us a lot to ponder. And to everyone else out there, keep those brain-boosting research papers coming.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on the next Deep Dive.